All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to My Wave Podcast. I don't know if you've ever been around a surfer, but the one thing that they talk about the most is their waves. Today on My Wave Podcast, I've got a friend of mine named Reese Tucker, and we're going to be talking about his most memorable wave. It's going to be kind of the podcast storyline is the wave, a wave. And we're just going to break it down, whether it's a short wave, long wave, it's their wave. And we're going to talk about it, talk about life, talk about surfing, all things surfing. And I guess the goal of this is that you would laugh a little bit. You'd learn about surfing if you're new to it. And we're just going to have a good time getting to know people. If you don't mind and you're watching us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment below, and please share it. And if you're listening, please go ahead and subscribe and share it with other people wherever you listen to your podcast. And so before we jump into our conversation with Reese, I just want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Shredders Surf Camp. If you're ever in the Wrightsville Beach area during the summer and you want to learn to surf, well, Shredders Surf Camp is for you. You can check them out on their website, shreddersurf.com. All right, Reese Tucker, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You excited?
Yeah.
Don't know what to expect?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And I got to thank Reese because just a little while ago, well, it's been a few hours. It was like lunchtime. I texted him and said, hey, I had a cancellation. Little COVID situation going on with the person that was supposed to be on here. And I was like, you want to join me on the show? And he was like, okay. So this is raw. This is real. This is Reese Tucker's wave. So we're going to talk about that, Reese. So let's set it up this way. How long have you been surfing?
Well, I wouldn't have been able to give you a good answer, except once you told me, I went and looked up how long, and I think it's been since I was 12, and I'm 20, turning 21.
Okay.
This month.
All right, so that's like 8-9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Where do you surf?
Wrightsville for the most part.
Wrightsville.
Topsail, if I have to.
If you have to. Mm-hmm. Why? What was wrong with Topsail?
I don't know. I just had some days that I went up there and expected it to be better, and it wasn't, and it soured my mood a little.
Yeah, I've gone up to Topsail though on days where I thought it was going to be worse, and it was cooking.
Yeah, it's like, just a lot easier to remember the bad.
I try to remember the good, but we're going to talk about the good and the bad because that's what makes surfing surfing. Where else do you surf?
Those are my
go-tos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally get down to CB, Carolina Beach.
Yeah, I surfed there a few times.
Yeah.
One good time.
Yeah, that's sick. Well, maybe we can talk about that. So, been surfing 8 or 9 years, and what was your first board? What was your first?
I think it was a C Street. Never heard of that Schaefer before.
Yeah.
It was $75 out of a guy's garage.
Nice.
And glassed in fins.
Yeah.
It's probably about 7'4".
Oh, yeah? So it was a fun board shape?
Yeah, and it had a pointed nose, too.
Is that why you don't like to run fun boards now?
No. I'd still ride it.
Yeah?
But, yeah, I was really small, so.
Cool. So, Reese, what is the wave that you want to talk about?
I have arrived at the conclusion that it's going to be my first wave.
Your first wave.
My most memorable,
I guess. And, you know, that's the one thing that as I was thinking about this podcast, you know, is it their best wave that they want to talk about? Is it the longest wave? But really, the most memorable keeps rising to mind. Mm-hmm. And so, first wave, first board, where was that?
It was at Topsail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Surf City Pier.
Yeah. Now, this is your first wave you stood up on?
This is the first wave I stood up on and the first time I went out surfing.
Oh, really? So you bought a board?
I didn't have a board.
Oh,
I remember my dad had bought a board. He had never surfed.
Okay, so this was before you bought your C Street board. Okay. So you're riding dad's board.
Yes.
And I think your dad was just kind of getting into surfing then too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he started surfing probably like he bought a board to start trying probably like 2 months, 3 months before that.
Okay.
Maybe less.
Yeah. What time of year was this?
Summer, going out of summer.
Going out of summer.
Just at the end of summer he did. My mom went to Hawaii for a tour, like to sightsee.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't get to go, so he thought his present was he could buy a board.
She gets a trip to Hawaii, I get a surfboard.
And I think he thought he would learn in like the first week.
Yeah, because I know your dad, and your dad's a pretty athletic guy. And, you know, I remember meeting him a couple times and surfing with him, or he was attempting to surf. And I don't know if you remember this, but he had just bought a wetsuit. I think it was that yellow and black body glove.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like two sizes too big. And it was freezing. He had no booties, no gloves. And he was like, hey, I'm going to go down and I'll meet you at, I think we were meeting at Access 4. I was like, okay. So I got down there a little late and it was drifty. It was blowing south. And I was looking. I didn't see your dad anywhere. And then I saw him. He was almost down to the pier, almost down to Johnny Mercer. And he had a long walk and it was freezing. And he had no boots, no gloves, no hood. And a wetsuit too big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started walking towards him. I felt so bad. He couldn't talk. He was freezing. His hands were shaking. I carried a board for him. Got back to his car. He couldn't even use his keys to get in the car. He thought he was going to die. Anyway, I'm surprised that he's still going for it. But he's doing well. He's doing well. Maybe we'll get him in the show in the future.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he'd like that.
Yeah, I think he'd love it.
Okay, so Topsail Beach, end of summer, early fall, water's still warm. Mm-hmm. What happened?
My dad convinced me, or he didn't convince me, if he just had to ask me.
Yeah.
But he was like, you should come try it with me. It's hard, but you can try it. And so we went out to the beach as a family one evening.
Yeah.
And I got in the water with him, and I think he swam because we only had one board.
How big was it that day?
Not very big.
Yeah.
Knee high, thigh high.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he swam out while I paddled, I think, and we got out probably halfway or so, 75% down the pier.
Yeah.
Out in the water at Surf City, and that's where... And he was going to try and help get me into a wave.
Okay, so you're out there, water's warm, it's evening with your dad, and here comes that wave. Did you see it coming, or did your dad go, all right, here comes one, let's try it?
I'm sure that we were having conversation back and forth, like, oh, this one, where?
Right.
Or, like, miss it. Or
yeah.
Try and push me in, and I fell or nosedived. I'm sure that happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they don't. I don't remember those that
right.
much.
Now, so your dad was trying to help you. Have you ever tried to help somebody surf?
Yes, yeah. I have.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I actually worked for a while at Shredder's Surf Camp.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Employed by you, actually.
This is a setup. Mm-hmm. No, so okay, so you've been an instructor for Shredder's Surf Camp. For what, 4 years now? 4 summers?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Started working there when Mark Hunt ran it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you worked for me the last 2 years. I worked with you.
1 year.
1 year. And then we've been able to operate it the last 2 summers. So, yeah, very cool. It's rewarding, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To it help is. Someone.
Especially when they enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we get a lot of kids that come through and they're scared or they take a tumble or they're doing it because mommy wants them to try or whatever. But all right, so you're in the water, you're with dad, and here comes the wave. What happened?
I think he was just like, oh, here's one. Chucked me into it.
And he chucked you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I probably paddled a little, but I think he pushed me.
Okay.
So not caught by my own accord completely.
Right. So a little touch. What did you catch an unbroken wave or was it already broken?
I think it was in the process of breaking. Okay. I didn't get up early.
Okay.
I think it was kind of like a the concept of a boogie board,
yeah,
shoved into surfing.
Right, little whitewater warrior.
Yeah, like hold, gripping, just like waiting, hit, and then come out.
Right.
But then I was still gripping the board.
Okay. All right, so still gripping the board. Scared or kind of like, oh, this is cool, or what do you remember there?
I always loved being in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
I love swimming and boogie boarding and skimboarding.
Yeah.
But I never surfed, so we were out a little further, and I think I was kind of like, oh, we're out far. But as a kid, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm here. My dad's here. We're
right.
just trying something.
Yeah.
So not really scared.
Yeah. Now, you say you were near the pier at Surf City?
We were. I have a photo, and we're right next to the pier pretty much.
Okay. Okay. Now speaking of fears, I mean, you've been surfing the last 8 or 9 years. You ever been scared in the water?
Yes.
Yeah. What caused that fear?
Well, different things. A lot of the time I'll get spooked, just like if you're out by yourself and there's not many, like there's no one around and it's a stormy day.
Yeah.
So there's all the chops in the water and it's dark water normally with the rain and stuff and bigger waves, but it's mainly the chops. I get like, I'm like, oh, that a fin sometimes, occasionally.
So you ever had a shark encounter?
Yeah. One, maybe. I've seen them, but only one time that I, like, got, or two times that I've gotten out of the water probably because of them.
Right, right. There was that one week we were at surf camp, and we saw those dolphin go by, and that was a really fun day for the kids. Mm-hmm. We had that group come down from Raleigh, that family come down from Raleigh, and we had our own regular week campers. And those dolphins went by. And wasn't that right after Hurricane Isaias and the sandbar was gone?
Yeah, probably. It wiped that sandbar.
Yeah. And so the dolphins were closer in because the sandbar was gone. Mm-hmm. And we were still catching some fun little waves. That we found a little spot that was breaking a little outside. And this dolphin went by, and then you go, Kyle, we all looked down there, and there was this disturbance in the water.
Yeah.
And we saw dolphins doing like this, and then you were like, what'd you say?
One of them isn't a dolphin.
Yeah, you're like, I don't think one of them's a dolphin. And so you paddled down there. It was maybe 75 yards from us.
Yeah.
And so you paddled down there. I remember you're up on your board and you're like, yeah, not these aren't all dolphin here.
No, it was big.
Yeah.
It was a big fin.
Yeah, it was a big shark. I don't know what kind, but it was a big shark.
Looked like they were like fighting over food.
Yeah, they're either fighting over food or sharing a meal. I don't know. I don't know if sharks and dolphins do that, but
yeah.
But you came back and we finished the session. We didn't get out of the water on that one.
No.
Well, maybe we should have. Sorry. We did not see a shark.
It was down. They were drifting.
They were going south.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had their maps out. Mm-hmm. But that was, yeah. So fear is part of surfing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
to an extent.
I think that's part of what drives us a little bit. You know, we push ourselves each time we go out. Each time we go out, we take a risk. You know, I mean, surfing is not a user-friendly sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a bruise on my hip from Sunday, and it was, you know, waist high, and it hurts. What's the biggest tumble you've ever taken? Wipeout. What was that?
Probably when I first, like early on when I first started on the C Street that we talked about, it's probably just a month or two period of time of learning to paddle out in days that I shouldn't have been out there.
Bigger days.
Yeah. And so just like paddling into waves and just getting smashed over and over again. And then finally, one of the three times you paddle out, you get to the lineup.
Right.
And then you get scooped up in the face of the one set wave that you didn't see coming.
Yes.
And you just get thrown backwards, and when you're 13 or 14 years old and you weigh 75 pounds and your board weighs about like what 20,
right,
that wave hits you and it starts you just drag. Right. You get dragged all the way back to the where yeah. you started.
It tumbles you, then your leash starts pulling, it's floating yeah. along.
You don't yeah. have any weight to like hold against it. When that wave takes you, you're just like a torpedo underwater.
Would you say that's been your worst wipeout or?
I mean, I've fallen a lot harder since then.
Yeah.
And broken a board or broken a fin or mm-hmm. put my hand into the edge or corner of a board and punched through it. But those are the ones that it was like, those days I think back to, and those are the days when I was like a kid and I was like, this is scary. Like, whenever I did get out, I didn't catch any waves. Because yeah. I was like, no way I'm getting back in there.
Yeah.
And I would be mad, yelling, paddling out because I couldn't get out. Those were the days where I would hate getting wiped out. Now I get wiped out and it's kind of like,
yeah,
I enjoy it to an extent, depending right. on what it is. But for the most part, I'm like, oh, I could have made that. Like,
yeah,
I needed to. I'll get it next time.
So let's go back to topsail. Mm-hmm. You pushed in. You're in the position to pop up, or did you just belly that one the whole way, or?
No, where I think I gripped like a boogie board
yeah.
and shot down, got out on in front of it, mm-hmm. I mean, on a 2 foot wave.
Right.
I stood up. I know I stood up because that's the
picture,
the memory that I have.
And is there a picture of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a very hazy. I think it was foggy that day.
Okay.
But yeah, I stood up and I got to my feet and wasn't standing in a normal position.
Right.
And
knees locked or knees bent? Were you in your surf position or?
Knees bent.
Uh-huh.
I played sports. I played right. basketball. You always bend your knees for stability.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're up. You're riding. How long the ride was it?
Well, I mean, now that I know, uh-huh. I have a good understanding of like surfing or whatever. It was probably I was probably standing for 3 to 4 seconds.
Right. Right. Now you
it
talk
felt
about
a lot longer.
Yeah. Now you talk about 3 to 4 seconds. That's for East Coast wave. That's kind of typical, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your longest wave that you ever rode? I mean, not that you had a watch on it, but yeah. like one that you were like, whoa, that went on for more than 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. took a trip to California.
Okay.
Surf San Clemente.
Yeah.
And trestles lowers was they would it was just a it was like a I've heard it referred to as a skate park.
Right.
It seemed accurate.
Right.
It was just a you would, it just kind of cruised
yeah.
with a little bowl and yeah. you just kept on going until you got to like 10 feet in front of the rocks.
Oh wow.
And it would just
fizzle.
Yeah. And you kind of just ride over the back. It was like a skate park. It was very consistent.
Yeah.
Very good for like just being able to practice.
How many days were you there at Trestles or San Clemente?
We stayed there a week.
Uh-huh.
And
did you surf up and down Cali or just stay there?
We just surfed around there. I surfed Trestles probably like 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. but super crowded
yeah.
every time. So we surfed Churches, which is like within sight of Trestles. Like the breaks aren't very far apart.
Okay.
So
yeah,
just down, a lot less crowded. Trestles is one like 30-foot section of people
oh,
that
wow.
has a ton of people in it. And then down, however, just a site's down, mm-hmm, it's like mm-hmm. 10 people in a 30-foot site, or even less. And
yeah.
So it's just...
So surfing Trestles, a lot of people. What... Any name drops? Like, who'd you see out there? Did you see anybody? Because, I mean, there's people...
Yeah.
There's pros that move out there just to surf that spot
mm-hmm.
and that stretch of beach.
Yeah.
Did you see any?
Well... Now they are.
Yeah.
Then there were kids. It was small. It wasn't a huge day.
Okay.
Just chest high.
Yeah.
Head high.
Yeah.
It was fun, but not the best for them. But Jet Schilling, he was out there.
Okay.
And then some of the kids his age that you see them, their names up on some. But I yeah. think Jet Schilling surfed CT, the wave pool, Kelly Slater's wave pool.
Okay.
As a wild card or something.
Cool.
So
cool.
He was out there.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So where else have you traveled?
I've been to the Outer Banks a
okay.
few times, just
right.
take quick trips up there. And Puerto Rico twice. I haven't traveled as much as I would have wanted to.
Yeah.
But as much as I could.
Yeah. That's cool, though. To get out, see different places, surf different waves. You know, each wave probably has a different maybe shape or setup or feel to it.
Yeah.
And that's part of that learning curve. You know, that's sweet. So you're up, you're riding that first wave. It's like you're walking on water or something, right?
Yes.
What was going on in your mind? Do you remember the feeling?
I remember enough of it to know that what I did, I'm a pretty like calm. I don't do like emotions or like a lot of like excitement or stuff very
right.
much.
Right.
And I do remember that. Yeah, I was even like that as a kid. And so I remember that I stood up when I got to my feet. It was probably within like, I was probably riding over the back of the wave by the time I got to this point, yeah. Like centered enough to do this. But the picture is me pumping my arms like
like a clam.
And I'm yelling. I know I was yelling because I told my parents when I got back and they still tell me I was yelling king of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically I claimed a 2-foot white water ride in
nice.
Yelling king of the world as my first
sick.
Wave.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. So, now, what did that do for you though?
I really felt like very excited. I just felt very happy.
Mm-hmm.
It spurred me on a whole lot. Just standing up in the concept of like gliding across the water, whether the board's there or not, and your vision is not there.
Right.
And it's just like you're gliding across the water. And
yeah.
It's not just the laying down and doing it. It's the standing up. And it was just a really cool feeling to me. And so after that, I got hooked. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I went and bought a board probably. Well, my dad went and bought me a board probably a week or 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I really enjoy it. Like, I want to keep on doing that. And he was like, well, we'll get you a board. And then from then, we surfed probably fairly regularly.
Yeah.
For at least like for a while as we learned. And then after we learned where we could both stand up and go out on like days for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
90 to 95% of Reitzville Beach is days that aren't huge.
Right.
So when we could go out, we went out a lot. We went out with you all the time.
Yeah.
My dad, we just loved going out. We spent a lot of time learning, but a lot of time surfing.
Yeah. So it was a really cool thing to do as father and son.
Yeah. But and it was also just, we both loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just, you know, that father-son bond and something to do together that's unique and different, but, like, it brought you into a different, like, tribe, different family group. Like, this, you know, surfers are unique.
Yeah.
And, because we all share this drive and passion for that one wave. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that wave, to conquer it, to ride it. You said you had this feeling of being on top of the world. Do you still have that feeling sometimes?
Yes.
Or what goes on through your mind at, say, you know, you go out, you paddle out, it's a hurricane swell, you know, you've been watching it on all the apps, the Weather Channel, you've been, you know, zeroing it in, the swell direction, all these different things. What's going on in your mind leading up to a good session or a predicted good session?
I will look at the forecasts.
Uh-huh.
I look at Magic Seaweed.
Yeah.
I look at Surfline. I used to really like Swell Info. I don't trust it as much now.
Right.
And I'll look at the buoys if it's like the nighttime, or I'll look at the camera leading up to it. Sometimes I'll go surf the day before, even if it's not great, just because oftentimes I haven't surfed in. If it's like a day, if it's been like a dry spell between, I haven't surfed in like a week or so. So I go just to get to my feet, and even if I have a bad time, I'm like, well, tomorrow's going to be
right.
good, and I got a chance to warm up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But inside, that excitement, do you get all like I start giggling, like when a swell's coming, and when it's finally there, like I lose my mind, you know, and I know
I do too.
You know. We handle our emotions differently.
Yes.
But, like, I lose my mind. Like, I run around the house trying to find things that are laying right there, you know, in front of me. And then you get out in the water, and you know, the longer swell period days, you know, where there's this little lull, and then those lines start coming in, you know, and just like, what do you do? What do you do when you see those lines start stacking up?
Well, let me take back 1 second.
Uh-huh.
I do when there's a swell coming, it's like the most energetic I feel.
Okay.
It's just obsessive in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I try to like quell it because I know that if I get there the next day and it's not good, then it's like very heart-wrenching for me.
Let
but
down.
I don't sleep very well or at all. Like
really?
I will stay up, even if I'm getting up at 5 a.m.
uh-huh.
to get there for first light, and I can't go, I won't go to sleep till like 2 a.m. and I'll lay in my bed for like 2 hours, like just trying to sleep, but I'm too excited. And like, I'm just hoping and just like excited that I might get the chance
mm-hmm.
to go in the waves that are forecasted tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. What have been some of the fun swells you've surfed recently? Memorable swells.
Well, I mean, I've surfed a couple good days, but what's most memorable is the swells I missed. It's because I was in school
right.
for nursing for a little bit.
Right.
And I had classes 4 days out of 5 of the week, the whole Monday to Thursday. And
right.
they were for 4 hours each class. And it just so happened that there was like 3 swells or 2 swells that hit back to back.
Yes.
And they were all on the weekdays.
Yeah.
And I think I surfed 2 times during like a 3-week period.
Mm.
And everyone else was surfing the whole time I was in class. And I believe that you came through and told me 1 time shortly before I quit nursing. You told me that it was like the best day you've ever seen at Wrightsville Beach, and that it was just like perfect.
Yeah. I was with a workout group this morning, and I was surfing. I was running with 2 guys that were there on they called it the day
mm-hmm.
and at the spot.
Yes.
So those places we won't talk about
because mm-hmm.
they need to be secrets. So as you look at surfing and you look at your future, you know, the cool thing about Wrightsville Beach, and I know this is around the world, but where we surf, doctors and lawyers and real estate, and you know, there's people from all walks of life out there. What do you see yourself doing in the future?
With surfing?
Yeah.
I don't think that, well, I mean, obviously I can't speak in absolutes concerning the future, but it's hard for me to come to terms or ever imagine
mm-hmm.
not living at a place I could surf. So never leaving the coast would be a goal.
Okay.
Never leaving like a place that had waves that I could surf semi-regularly.
Yeah.
Because it's just something that it grounds me, I feel like, or it just kind of is like something that I feel like I was meant to, like it's something that was meant for me to have or me to do.
Yeah.
And when I don't surf for a few weeks, or like if there's some big flat spell and
mm-hmm.
I don't get to surf for a couple weeks, I'll be like more prone to be like frustrated or like short or angry with people. But when I get out there, even
mm-hmm.
if I'm stressed, it's like the best release.
Yeah.
Because there's just, I don't think about anything else. It's like I'm just out there and I'm in my element almost.
And you hear a lot of surfers mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they strap on that leash, they paddle out, they leave everything on the beach.
Yeah.
Like all their cares, their worries, their jobs, everything is back there. And it does have, I've read articles and listened to podcasts, it has a spiritual element to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being out there in creation, you know, under the sun, in the elements.
Yeah.
Can you describe that a little bit more in your own words?
Yeah. One of the many times I pray is when I'm out in the water surfing, because it's just it's a time where I don't have other stuff on my mind.
Yeah.
And like paddling back out or paddling out for the first time, you're duck diving waves, you maybe it's a big day or maybe it's like a stormy day.
Yeah.
And it's just a short prayer like, Lord, could you help me to have a good time and enjoy this and appreciate it? And I also pray that you'll help keep me and my friends safe. Like,
yeah,
don't let our boards hit us or like no animals or I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
say a short prayer, but also appreciation because the waves are good.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned friends. Who's your crew? Who do you surf with most?
Well, probably the most is you and my dad. And outside of that, I surf with my friend Simon, my age, and my girlfriend, Lauren. She's trying to learn, so I'll go out with her on days that I would never normally go out on.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it because it's fun to go with her.
Yeah, cool. I actually talked to Lauren because I was trying to fill this spot because of the cancellation. And I was like, hey, Lauren, what are you doing tonight? And she's singing at Refuge.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, hey, let's talk about that wipeout you had at CB during that hurricane.
Yes, she mentioned that. She was like, PK recommended that if I go my way, be a wipeout at CB.
But you think of memorable waves. She's never going to forget that.
No.
I mean, we're never going to forget that. We were there.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. she thought she was dying.
Yeah, sorry, Lauren. We will stop talking about you. Well, cool, man. So, surf sessions. Hopefully, there's many, many, many more in your future. What are you doing for a living now? You're in school or not in school? You're working? What's going on?
I am not in school.
Okay.
Currently, I dropped out of college.
Okay.
Completely.
Yeah.
And I'm putting up and down Christmas lights, taking them down now.
Okay.
And after that,
you're doing that for a company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Local guy here.
Patriot Illumination.
Okay.
And then after that, I'll probably look for a new job, hopefully find something that really sparks my interest, and I'll go back to school if I need to or just pursue that job.
Very good, man. Very good. Well, dude, I appreciate you being out here. Couple last questions. Post-session, where do you like to go eat? What's your favorite stop for some grub?
Pretty much, like, if it's, like, a really good session, I have, like, a ritual now. I'll go by, like, Zeke's and get an acai bowl because one time on a hurricane swell, very good day.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and I went there afterwards. So now I hope kind of, like, it's, like, I'll get more if I keep – it's, like, a rainbow after a storm. It's
yeah. Like, yeah, acai bowls at Zeke's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. If you could – see, you say you're 21?
Mm-hmm. It's about to turn 21.
Okay. If you could give one tidbit of advice to someone younger than you about surfing, about life, what would it be?
About surfing, it'd probably be that... I don't know. Probably be that you should, if it's something that makes you feel happy or makes you feel like it's your purpose, then you should look at it as an opportunity to influence like people and others around you.
So using surfing as an influence.
It's not just something that you can enjoy. It's something that you could used to build friendships or used to go to as something that could be like something you talk about or like it's an intimate conversation you can have too because it's something that means so much to
you. Yeah. Good deal. Well, ladies and gents, I think, man, there's so much more to talk about. I mean, we could go all different kinds of places.
I could talk about surfing for a very long time.
Yeah. And so, Reese, it looks like there's a little wave coming this Thursday, Friday. Thursday looks big and messy. Friday looks like a cleanup. Saturday evening, I saw it going to like 14 seconds, which around here could be really fun. I think it's like 2 to 3 feet at 14 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another little cleanup Sunday. So we've got some waves coming.
Hopefully.
we can get out there on it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time, man, and thank you for joining us on My Wave podcast. I also like to give a big thanks to Copilot Studios, opening this place up for us and allowing us to record. And you can follow them on Instagram at Copilot Studios. And just want to leave you with this. Acts, the book of Acts from the New Testament, chapter 27, verse 44. It says this. Some were on boards. Thanks, everybody.